At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, it's game day. That's right. Preseason game number 3. Welcome to Saturday. Welcome to Larry Kruger meets John Chapman. We got a lot to get to. Niners making trades the last 2 days. Are more to come. The cutdown's looming. The final preseason game goes tonight. What's on the line? We jump into all of it right now. Come with us. Off and running on a Saturday morning. We're behind because of me. We had some technical difficulties on my end. So all of you in the chat saying, is Krug making Chapman late? Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. Krug was making Chapman late. But welcome to the Krug Show nonetheless. And, of course, we're dual streaming today on John's channel and my channel. If you could hit like and subscribe. We'd appreciate that greatly. It's 919 West Coast, 1219 back east. We're live on the Pig in a Pickle Krug Show. Thank you to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Great barbecue. Damon and Mary, it's a fantastic restaurant. You're going to love it. Thanks to them for sponsoring the Krug Show. Also, thanks to our good friends at Claw Daddy Arcades. They're a great follow on Instagram at @claw_daddy_arcades to find a location near you. Check them out in Capitola and Visalia Mall later on this year. And then Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, down along the Monterey Peninsula. Anthony's a big Niner fan. He was fired up about the Robinson trade, and he's at 831-521-5264. For all your sports cards and collectible needs. Beautiful day out here in Northern California. It will be a wonderful night tonight at Levi's Stadium. Get there early. Should be a beautiful, nice West Coast, warm, somewhat bugless Saturday night. John, good to see you, man. And let's just jump right in. Niners have made some trades. We could start there. The Niners have a big final test tonight. We could start there. Usually I pick the direction we start, but you know what? I'm going to throw it to you. What we can go in any direction. What direction you want to go to start off?
You know, the way that this season was kind of shaking out for the 49ers was kind of a wait and see approach. Let's see how the season starts out. And if you get hot, then you could, you know, jump into the trade deadline and start adding some pieces and whatever else. The 49ers were not afforded that luxury, sadly. And so you had so many injuries during training camp. A lot of the rookies that you were counting on to develop didn't get those snaps because of injuries. And I love the fact that the Niners went out there. You didn't overpay. You go and you get Sky Moore. You get Brian Robinson. And you kind of fortify a couple of the positions. Now, these are not blockbuster moves. You did a 2-year-out pick swap, 6th, 7th. And then you did a next year 6th-round pick that you got in a trade for Jordan Mason. Like, you're picking up some value-added options that actually have a little bit of, you know, experience. Both the players that the 49ers brought in, 4th year of the rookie deal, and have 3 years of playing experience in the NFL. Both of Sky Moore and Brian Robinson have playoff experience. Both of them are young. Both of them are durable. And so, like, I absolutely like both these moves because you didn't overpay. Like, if you were giving up 3s and 4s and even 5ths, that's not what you did. And even the 6th-rounder that you gave up, you got the Commanders to take a lot of the cap, you know, the guaranteed salary, $3.4 million for Brian Robinson. So I like this. This is the bargain bin shopping experience that has been the 2025 49ers. But the fact that they are still being aggressive at this time and being buyers as they're getting closer to the roster cutdowns, I think is a positive sign. And the fact that they're not just going to sit and wait and just hope, they are addressing major needs in that running back room. Good Lord, it has been through it. And so has the wide receiver room. So I do believe these two moves made the Niners better, but I don't think they're blockbuster highlight starting impact moves?
Let's talk about Robinson first. He had 207 touches last year, 958 rush yards, 68.5 per game, 8 touchdowns. So that's a good number. 8 touchdowns, a career high for him. But obviously, Washington preferred to go with Jacory Kroski-Merritt, call me Bill, Austin Eckler, and Chris Rodriguez. You know, I'll just be completely honest, put all my cards on the table. I don't get it. I didn't get why the Niners traded Jordan Mason, and I didn't get why the Commanders just traded this guy. I don't get it. To me, I watch football all the time. It's not like anybody can run the ball. It's not. It's not like, it doesn't matter who the running back is. It does matter who the running back is. And running backs, I know they've been devalued, but they've been devalued to a crazy level this year. How in the same calendar year can Ashton Jeanty go as high as he did in the draft, and then the Commanders get a 6-round pick in next year's draft for their starting running back from a year ago? Why? Because they have 3 backs that are all right around 200 pounds that look good in August. So you don't need, I mean, it seems like you're crossing country on a drive and you're pouring gas out of your tank in Modesto going, ha, 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 we won't need any of this. We're not going to need all this extra fuel. Ha, ha, ha. And just dump it on the side of the road, and then we see you broken down in Savannah or something, just totally, I'm out of gas. Well, maybe you shouldn't have poured 9 gallons out in Modesto for kicks. I don't get the giveaway of the running back. What Mason had to be dealt because what? He wasn't expensive. What? They told him to be quiet last year when he said something at the wrong time to the wrong media person. About when he was told he was going to start, and then he like went south the rest of the year. So I guess you could argue under the quote unquote change of scenery act that, you know, both moves were appropriate, but I don't get it. I don't get it in a sport where running backs get destroyed. They take 20 car crash. A typical hit in the NFL for a running back is like a 30-mile-an-hour car crash with your seatbelt on. That's what they say. Imagine taking 20 car crashes, even with your seatbelt on, and every week. Why you would ever deplete your depth at that position when they face such ridiculous abuse seems like totally opposite of what would be acceptable and the normal practice. Why do you think Washington said goodbye to Robinson?
I don't think Mason nor Robinson, to be honest with you. This is a little bit of a, you look at their offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. He has a type. He has a type of quarterback. He has a type of running back. He has a type of wide receiver that he wants. And so, like, the amount of, I want this type of guy. Brian Robinson was there before Cliff Kingsbury. And so it was kind of inherited. Now, he goes out and gets a lot of these small slasher-style running backs that, you know, are great in the passing game. Brian Robinson's not bad in the passing game, but he's a bigger guy, 6'2", 225, not your ideal fit in this quote-unquote zone scheme. And I don't know, what a fit. You could look at Jordan Mason, not a Bobby Turner guy. You remember, Bobby Turner, the 49ers' long-term running back coach, took 1 year off. Anthony, who's the coach that stepped in? He was with the Chargers.
Yeah.
He played running back for the 49ers.
Anthony
Lynn steps in. He brought in Jordan Mason. So he was not a Bobby Turner guy. Bobby Turner returns to the job. Anthony Lynn leaves. And it's like, man, you're going to have to fight all these guys that I like more than you. And even Jordan Mason and Bobby Turner talked about how they had a lot of animosity against each other whenever it first started. And like, it was oil and water. So it just, Jordan Mason wanted out. 49ers didn't want to pay him $5 million. And so, but the funny thing is, where does he go? He goes to Kevin O'Connell, who runs a very similar scheme, and it's a perfect fit there. But like, it's interesting. But you look at Shanahan, you look at Kingsbury, they want their guys. The Shanahan loyalty program is undefeated. And if you are not one of his guys, goodbye. And if you are, he'll bring you in. Now, the 49ers did have an official pre-draft meeting with Brian Robinson. So this is somebody they've had their eye on. And so it's interesting, but I'm with you, Larry. The running back position has been so devalued across the league that you can get them for pennies on the dollar. I did think that the trading away of Jordan Mason was very short-sighted. You tried to replace him with Isaac Grendo, Jordan James, Corey Kiner. All three of them get hurt at the exact same time. And so, like, your idea, your plans kind of go out the window. Now you're forced to trade for Brian Robinson. And here's the best thing. Brian Robinson's on a one-year deal, last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah.
Whereas you have Isaac Grendo for two seasons after this. You have Jordan James four seasons after this. So it's not so much of a he's here to replace those guys maybe for a year. But long-term, Isaac Grendo, man, just get healthy. Keep your explosiveness. We're going to use you as a change of pace, kind of whatever back. And then Jordan James, you just learned, we'll break case in case of emergencies. But next year, you're getting all those reps in training camp that you missed. You're going to get those throughout the year. You just kind of pause development there, but that's not a bad thing. This is how the NFL should address bringing in veteran depth and allowing your rookies to kind of grow into the role instead of just getting it right off the bat. And so I think that this is the best for the running back room. I really do.
You know, and there are a lot of people that are like, oh, they, you know, the Niners are idiots. They should have just kept Mason. Well, actually, guys, if you look into the details of this, the Niners traded Jordan Mason to Minnesota for a pick in this last draft. The Niners turned that pick into Marquise Siegel. They also got a 6th-round pick in the 2026 draft. So they technically traded Mason for Marquise Siegel and a 6th-round pick. Then they turned around and traded a 6th-round pick to the Commanders for Brian Robinson. So essentially you traded Jordan Mason for Marquise Siegel and Brian Robinson. I think that I would do that deal every single day. Now, why do you need to do that deal? It's partly because Isaac Grendo has been hurt a lot. And I don't know, you know, if, you know, Grant drew this correlation, and I don't know if it was cause and effect, but it is interesting that Isaac Grendo, who's been dinged up all summer, only recently returned to camp, fumbled 3 times in practice yesterday or 2 days ago. And the next day, the Niners trade for Brian Robinson. Is it possible that the Niners looked at Junior Bergen and said, he can't be the kick returner, he can't be the punt returner, we'll go for Sky Moore. Grendo, he can't be RB2, so we'll go for Robinson. I don't know. Then you mix in the fact that Washington is paying part of the $3.4 million salary, which makes it even more palatable from the Niners' perspective. And Robinson has been Washington's running back one for the last 3 years. I just really believe that this is a great move because I think the Niners in the present have to have a seriously great RB2 option, not just like somebody. It's got to be somebody who's done it before, because the goal is to get to the playoffs with a healthy Christian McCaffrey. And to me, it's like you have to have a good RB2 to do it. The Niners also, if you look at the way this shakes out, John, if they let Robinson walk at the end of the year, they can turn around and get a comp pick. So they're in a good spot there. And the other people saying, well, he's not a receiver. You know, he was a good receiver out of the backfield in 2023, not last year, but 2 years ago, he ranked in the top 5 in yards per route run, 1.68 yards per route run. Over the last 3 years, he's had 65 receptions for 587 yards, where Mason, by comparison, has gotten a lot less run, 14 receptions in the same span for 122 yards. So I think they got a guy who's more ready to do it. I think he's a little bit stronger, more dependable runner. He's not quite the explosive threat that Mason is at that size, but I think he's more dependable. And
you remember, like, Brock wouldn't throw it to Mason, like, whatever reason, like, Mason would be standing there 5 yards in front of Brock, and he'd be like, nope, we're going 40 yards downfield every time. Like, he just refused to check it down to him. So whether he was the receiving option or not doesn't matter. But like you said, Brian Robinson had an 80% catch rate 3 consecutive years in the NFL. Like, he's not going to be your man beater running, you know, all these option CMC routes and, you know, whatever else, but he's a viable option that you could check down to. If you want a receiving back, you put Grendo out there. But if you want short yardage, goal line, Brian Robinson's about as good as you're going to get.
One question before we'll get to some supers later on, but one question from B. Lauren, who says, Krug, can you cover how the team can get Corey Kiner back on the roster
during the season. So, you know, it's funny. I'm a huge, I don't know if I've told you this, but I'm a huge Corey Kiner fan. I really think Corey Kiner's got tremendous heart. I think he's got great contact balance. And those are my two favorite traits in a running back. Give me a tackle breaking contact balance guy with tremendous heart. And I'll teach him the rest. I'll teach him the pass blocking techniques. I'll teach him different things. But he's got to be able to do it, and he's got to have heart, and he's got to have balance and toughness. And this guy's got all of those traits. So he high ankle sprain off the 19-yard run. It's one of the highlights in the Raider game. Then, obviously, he almost got up and kept running despite the ugly wrenching his ankle took. Then he realized, uh-oh, no, I can't do this. So he goes down. He's hurt. Niners waived him injured. Shanahan had told us the day before, hey, you know, we want this guy. We like this guy. We want to keep him on the injured reserve and you know, bring him back. And it's like, you know, he was asked, are you guys going to do some moves along those lines? He's like, yeah, him and a couple other guys fit that description. The next day, they waived him injured. And all these people were like, Krug, he's gone. And I'm like, oh, everybody. Just, you know. You could have, if you'd lost your mind the first time Tanner Mordecai got waived, I mean, we'd all be dead by now, you know, and say, he's been waived. He's been back. He's been waived. He's been back. He'll play tonight. So I don't, maybe I'm throwing this in your lap, John. I don't know if you have the mechanics here on this one. Maybe we need to import Dave Lombardi to break it all down for us or do something on this one, because I don't know. I know it's involved. I know it's involved. Do you know the specifics on how Kiner can work his way back to the roster this season? Because there is an avenue.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. So this season, stop celebrating like it's 2009 and start betting like it's 2025. Whether you're hammering spreads, chasing the lines, riding money shot parlays, my favorite, teasers are my favorite bet ever. And like, I just tell people this all the time. You're betting with the odds and with the house instead of against it. Check out teasers if you haven't done it. It's our specialty, and it's where we make most of our money. But MyBookie is your one-stop sportsbook and casino in one. So one account, one wallet. You bet football all weekend. Then you want to play slots. You want to play blackjack. It's all. You don't have to switch apps. No jumping platforms. Just straight-up action. And if you're new to MyBookie, man, they've got a new huge promo. Use our code 49ers, 49ERS, on your first bet, up to $500, it's fully covered. So you make your play. If it doesn't hit, you get it right back with a bet back bonus. No stress. And it comes with just a one-time rollover on return bet, so you're free to reload and keep firing. If you don't know about reloads, ask them their customer service. Trust me, that is there. But again, a one-time rollover, that is huge. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Code 49ers, 49ERS, claim your bet back bonus. Make this football season the one where bragging rights come with a bankroll. My bookies, where bettors win together, because bragging's good, but cashing in is better. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over three seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This season, so you could get crazy and you could anytime a player goes on injured reserve before the 53 designation, by rule, that player in its current contract status cannot return this season. But you can't do an injury settlement. He could clear waivers. You would have to wait for him to go out. He'd have to sign with another team, then come back, and then you could bring him back. But that almost never happens. My vision, and I think the 49ers' vision, is we're going to keep this dude all year, and then next year the contract will toll, and he'll be basically a rookie again next year, kind of like what happened with Juwan Jennings with his hamstring injury. His rookie year, okay. Or Kalia so Davis.
You're saying a full redshirt year. So yeah. You're basically telling B. Lauren, forget about that idea.
Because they put him on IR before that 53 cutdown and nobody picked up his contract, that's kind of where that is. And so, like, we saw this with DJ Reed as well. Again, you go back like 6 years ago, the 49ers thought that they could stash him for a year, but then the Jets claimed him. Was it the Jets or was it Seattle claimed him?
Seattle claimed him, yeah.
And so he's just on IR for the 49ers this year. And so if the 49ers do a contract buyout, that injury settlement, which they've already done like 10-plus players, another team could sign them. He could play for that team this season, and then you would have to try to get him back after that, which doesn't really, really happen. So the Corey Kiner 49ers play is 2026. Yeah.
Wow. Kind of a bummer, really. But
it is. Hate to see it. But they don't have the numbers. And you can't, like, do you want to use one of your 53 or your IR to return spots on him? The 49ers said no.
Most likely not. Because
they can't now.
Yeah. But even like looking at it at the time, you'd be like, well, what are the odds that you're going to have, you know, Corey Kiner is going to be the guy you need to call back up? There's probably going to be somebody else that gets hurt along the way. But, okay, so B. Lauren, not good news necessarily, but that John just provided the answer, and I'm glad that he did. All right, let's move to the Sky Moore trade. Somebody in here says it's a big night for Junior Bergen, and there's no question about that. It's Bergen. It's kind of a now or never thing for Junior Bergen. I just kind of view it as, and I've been saying it for a couple, maybe a 10 days to 2 weeks, like, no on Junior Bergen. You know, it's like I really nice kid, and I was intrigued as hell when he said, hey, I want to be a Hall of Famer, because I was like, whoa, he wants to be a Hall of Famer. I want to see, is he on a Hall of Fame track in any way, shape, or form? Could you see it? And it's admirable, but he had the nice punt return, but it really wasn't more than he just made one guy miss, and he had a huge avenue up the side. It wasn't like he sifted through a bunch of guys. He just made one guy miss, jump cut, got the outside lane, and rode it to the sideline. So I don't want to discount it. It was good. But that's his best trait. He doesn't give you anything as a receiver, and he doesn't give you anything as a kick returner.
And I just think the 30.
Yeah, I mean, and he's not explosive. He's not dynamic, and he's the kind of smaller-bodied guy that if he did build up some speed, would probably be apt to fumble. So, you know, which I don't want to put on anybody, but, you know, that's what I see. John Lynch on Thursday went on KMBR, and he was talking about Sky Moore, and he said, you know, one of the things we really like about him is he has dual return capability. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's what we're talking about here. So Sky Moore is going to get this job over Bergen because Sky Moore can be a punt returner and a kick returner. He had an 88-yard punt return for a touchdown against Seattle just last week in the preseason. Now, he was a second-round pick in his own right, so there's a word for that. He's a bust, right? He's a bust. That's why Kansas City's moving him. They were going to cut him, so the Niners gave him some nominal compensation to jump the line and get him in their camp. And Lynch said, hey, me and Veach have a good relationship. And Veach is just saying, hey, I'll do you a solid, John. Just throw me anything and throw me anything at all. And he's yours because we're going to cut him next week because we got better guys. So, but I mean, it's like, on one hand, yeah, they're getting it. They traded for a guy who was going to get cut. So we all should just, you know, be very, you know, keep that in our back pocket when you're sitting there to the people who are singing the praises of this move. Like it's some awesome move. It's not an awesome move. But the question is he better than Junior Bergen? And I think the answer undoubtedly is yes. I think he is better than Junior Bergen. He's 5'10". He has a hard time getting off the line of scrimmage. He hasn't produced that much. His game log is pathetic. I mean, he's did nothing last year. The year before that, he had one touchdown. In his best year, he had one touchdown. So he was a great player in Kalamazoo in college. 3-year starter in college, was great in the MAC. Hasn't worked in the pros. He's too weak to get off the line, not explosive enough in and out of the breaks to create any real separation. So at this point, he's as a receiver, but on, you know, jet sweeps and trick plays and return man, punt return, kick return, I think he makes sense. So I kind of like it because it's them saying, here's no compensation. Our pick that we should have, by the way, used on Willie Lampkin. Can we now officially say that? I mean, I was pushing hard for that. People are like, oh, what do you know? Well, looks like I knew more than them, right? Because I said, go get Willie Lampkin. Willie Lampkin is going to be the Rams like starting center probably at some point. And they went for a kick returner from Montana. Okay. So who knows more, whatever, but now Sky Moore is going to come in. Bergen's going to get cut. Maybe he goes to the practice squad. What do you think of the Sky Moore addition?
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree with you on the indictment against Junior Bergen. He just looks slow, offers nothing in the wide receiver room. But I also think that it's an indictment against Jacob Cowing, who was your backup. Yes. He was going to be the next punt returner. And, man, guys the 49ers have had back to return punts. Amir Abdullah, hurt out. Andy Isabella, hurt out. Jacob Cowing, hurt out. Like, they just cannot get a punt returner to stay healthy. And so whatever they brought in, Sky Moore, it was right after the Jacob Cowing injury, where it's like another hamstring. He already missed a month with the first one. Now it's re-injured the same one. Going to be a month plus. We don't have a damn punt returner. We ain't going to put Ricky Pearsall back there. He's the only damn wide receiver. Like, what are you going to do?
You're going to put Grendo back there? So you get
Grendo already lost the kickoff return job by fumbling 3 times his rookie year on kickoff return. You had to put Debo back there. So, like, I think that the Sky Moore trade was like, okay, let's get somebody who has done it. Maybe not at an all-pro level and maybe not even at a great level, but like somebody that has done it that we can get for pennies on the dollar. 2 years from now, 6-7, like you didn't pay anything to get this guy, but we're going to put him back there. He's going to kick return. He's going to punt return. So your starting kick returner is going to be Dallas Flowers and it's going to be Sky Moore. I can tell you that right now. Week one, your two kick returners, that's who it's going to be. Dallas Flowers and Sky Moore. Sky Moore will be the primary guy and your punt returner is going to be Sky Moore. So like, you solved that problem, and that's about it. Now, Sky Moore can come in and do some jet sweep screen action in the pass game, which they tried to do that with Junior Bergen. It didn't work. It didn't work in training camp practices, didn't work in joint practices, didn't work in 2 preseason games so far. I don't care what Junior Bergen does tonight. It does not matter. You cannot use a roster spot for him. You cannot. Practice squad, yes, for sure you can. If you want to slowly develop that, and like, I don't even think you have to be worthy of, like, even worried about somebody claiming him. What he's put on tape is bad. He's slow. And so, like,
dime a dozen. He's totally forgettable. This is why you don't listen to your coaches and why you listen to your scouts.
My son played with him, though, Larry. My son played with him, right? That was their thing. Like, Brant Boyer's son played with him at Montana. Like, my son.
I don't care if you held this kid's hand all the way through Pop Warner.
No.
Listen to your scouts. Lock your coaches out of the scouting room. Get their opinions on paper and let the scouts talk about it. Do not let the scouts give opinions and let the coaches make the decision. Let the coaches give opinions and let the scouts make the decisions. Yeah, and I don't know if maybe they are doing that, but it's like the Niners are
they
just
know. What did Robert Saleh said? I've been a part of a lot of rooms. I've never seen coaches have as much impact in the draft as they do here. And it's reflected. It's Kyle. Yeah, Kyle's the GM. It's what it is. So there's positives and negatives. And, you know, some of those, sometimes that's Brock Purdy. Sometimes that's Junior Bergen. Yeah, like there's true. Hits and misses across, but this is a miss. And like, maybe he will develop on the practice squad, but like, I'm almost to the point now where like, I don't even know if he's going to land on the practice squad, to be honest with you. Like, I think you saw, like, he can field a punt. And if you had the luxury of just saying, look, this guy's just going to be a punt returner, the 49ers are nowhere near there, especially in their wide receiver room, kickoff return room, they're not there. Like, depth is a major concern. So to use one of your 53 on just a punt returner only, which is his only one quality snap that I've seen in all the practices and preseason games, maybe he could develop into that. But 49ers aren't at that luxurious stage. And the pick was weird to start with, but... Yeah, Sky Moore is going to be the base level.
Everything Bergen can do, Jordan Watkins does and does better. So what the hell do we need Bergen for? You know, I mean, I don't want to be hard, you know, harsh about it, but that's you know, in the harsh reality of personnel, that's the reality. Watkins is better and faster and as cheap. And, you know, I mean, so it's like there's no real reason for Junior Bergen. Do you see another trade coming? Now, Bleacher Report had an article out today, the trades that every team needs to make. And this article, you know, it's funny, John. There are certain articles that just, you know, they just come calling to me. And it's like, you know, when I see an article about the one trade that every 32 teams in the league should make, I literally am like doom scrolling through it. You know, ooh, oh, yes. The Panthers could trade a seventh for this. I am that guy that looks at every trade. But I'll say this, from looking at that list, one of the trades I saw today had somebody acquiring Romeo Doubs for a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to give my fifth round pick for a year of Romeo Doubs. I that's the guy I you know, I like Sky Moore and I like Brian Robinson, but to be honest, they really need one more. They need one more receiver because I don't know what Pearsall is going to do. I don't know what any of these guys are going to do. The Niners don't have a single, the biggest problem with the Niner receiving core, and it hit me yesterday when I was looking at this, is there's no meat and potatoes. It's everything's like a possibility. I love Ricky Pearsall, what he's shown this summer, but I don't know if Ricky Pearsall can play more than five quarters of football without getting hurt. Jennings, I don't know what his plan is. I mean, he's way off the reservation. I mean, this guy's making money. He's got a contract. He's not here. Is it the calf? I don't even care what it is. If it's the calf, it's a calf injury he's had since April. That's not good news. And if it's the contract, then you're costing yourself, a really productive September. You're costing yourself millions. Because you were going to be fed the ball consistently off the outset of the season because of all the injuries and suspensions. So Ayuk isn't there. Pearsall, you don't know about because he's not proven. Jennings isn't there. Gage isn't there. MCL sprain. Watkins isn't there. High ankle sprain. Cowing isn't there. Hamstring pull consistently. You've got Sky Moore. Tariq Owens is not NFL. I'll tell you that right now. Malik Turner is not NFL. Junior Bergen is not NFL. So you're bringing in Malik Knowles in the 11th hour of training camp just to try to get through this game. So you have Malik Knowles, who was a good kick returner at K-State. Nothing more. Isaiah Hodgins, who's a plodding, slow possession receiver. I love him as a guy, but you know what? That's what he is. Robbie Chosen is a journeyman guy who can run a little bit. He looks like a superstar compared to those guys. They don't have a single receiver anywhere on their roster that you can say he was awesome the last 3 years and he's going to be awesome for the next 2 years. And that, you know, we start right. No, there's nothing. There's no meat and potatoes there. So that's why they need to go trade a draft pick for Romeo Doubs, because at least Doubs would give them a solid NFL receiver who's in his prime, who was good last year, who's ready to roll. You know what I mean? I would start with Romeo Doubs. And then after that, I'm looking at I'm looking at rookies getting cut in other camps that are better than the guys they got. And that won't be hard to find because there's all kinds of rookies that are going to get cut that are way better than the guys they got here. These guys are not good. Hodgins is slow as hell. Chosen is on his eighth team. Knowles is a nothing. Tariq Owens is there for because of a favor. Bergen is a bad evaluation by a special teams coach on draft day. Malik Turner should be in the UFL. I mean, this is a pathetic. Why this is the organization that Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, their wide receiving core is embarrassing.
Especially when you look at week one with the injuries. And the funny thing is, like, okay, if you told me your wide receiver core is Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, Jordan Watkins, you're like, okay, that, like, yeah, that is worthy of the 49ers. But that's not the case. You want to throw DeMarcus Robinson in there? Awesome. I think DeMarcus Robinson's had a hell of a camp. But again, one of the guys that's not going to be out there weeks one, two, or three. And guess what, Larry? You have not one, but two division matchups in the first 3 weeks of the season. You play Seattle week one, and you play the Arizona Cardinals, who knocked you out twice last season, week three. So you've got to find – I like the claiming other rookies and whatever else, but if you're going to trade for a wide receiver, it has to be somebody that has NFL experience on the outside. Romeo Doubs fits that. Yeah, can you get the Packers to walk away with that? They've got some injuries of their own, and they've got a lot of rookies over there. I doubt it. I think he's starting for the Packers week one. But if you could get him, and again, the 49ers are going to trade a lot of capital, but if you could do another one of those seventh or sixth or whatever, you want to go as high as a fifth, he would start the first 3 weeks guaranteed. Now, are you going to start Doubs over DeMarcus Robinson? Probably not. But he'd be in the mix for sure. So, like, the 49ers, they're an issue. And, you know, we were at the joint practices, and both joint practices, they were in 12 and 21 personnel the whole time. You're going to be in two wide receiver sets. The first 3 weeks, you're going to have two tight ends, or you're going to have two backs out there every damn play. Maybe if it's third and 17, you might go 11 personnel. That's a maybe. But, like, don't expect a lot of wide receiver play out there week one. It is going to be big formation, big formation, big formation nonstop because you just don't have the bodies on the outside that have done it in the NFL. Like, there's a
That's fine, but don't fall into a 14-point hole. Yeah. Because if you fall into a 14-point hole and you need to score quick and you're sitting there with two tight ends and Luke Farrell and, you know, you're done. Right. I mean, you got to be able to score quick in the NFL sometimes. I mean, I get it. They can get through the football game without, you know, without imploding. But if they fall into any kind of a 10 or 12 or 10 or 14 point hole, they're down two scores in the second half in games that are meaningful. Aren't you going to want to put three wides on the field? And they don't even have three wides that they can find in the on the team. You know, I know what you're saying, though. You're right. They're going to go 12 personnel. Heck, Lynch said it on the radio. He's like, hey, look, we're going to, you know, we're a 21 personnel, 22 personnel, 12 personnel. You know, we're going to put our two backs out there for the most part. And so we're uniquely structured, I guess, to withstand all these injuries. But beyond that, it's just like you could look up and not have, I mean, like the guys that you're even depending on eventually. Ayuk, I mean, Ayuk's had a major surgery. And you know, Jordan Watkins has never done it in the NFL. And Russell Gage was given up for dead by like 25 different teams. You know, I mean, he's like a reclamation project. And these are the best of the guys that you got.
Yeah, you're so dependent on Russell Gage. You're like, what did John Lynch say on the radio? We think he's going to be ready week one.
So right.
He's
on the team, I guess. Ew. I mean, yeah, a guy that everybody else thought was borderline to make the team, he's assuring the fan base that even though he won't play in the final preseason game, that this total mediocre has been veteran. Don't worry, folks. He'll be there week one. God, I mean, it's just all right. Let's talk about tonight for a second. What do you want to see tonight? Who's got real skin in the game tonight? We should tell people that. You know, tonight, obviously, preseason game number three, the Chargers and the Niners, 5:30 start, 2:30 we'll have pregame for you on 107.7 The Bone and 8:10 a.m. So on the radio, you can catch it. But the Niners had three practice days this week, so there's a lot of talk, John. They're going to sit all the starters, or at least a big chunk of their starters, for the final game. Shanahan wants to avoid injury, for sure. The kickoff, Niners kickoff the season Sunday, September 7th at Lumen Field against Seattle. Purdy, CMC, Kittle, Trent, Bosa, Fred, Demo, these guys are all going to be out tonight. They're not going to play. What do you want to see tonight? Is there any particular – there is – in a lot of ways, tonight is kind of an interesting night, because you've got some guys who are literally just going to be out there to tune things up, and you got other guys that they are going to be flying around because it's Super Bowl Sunday. Because here's the bottom line. If you make the roster in the NFL, the minimum is like between $750,000 and $800,000. If you make the practice squad, I think you make $207,000. There's nothing wrong with $207,000. Don't get me wrong. But that's a big difference. So you're going to see guys flying around, trying desperately to make that final impression that gets them on the active roster and gets them the big piece of cake, as we'd say. Who are you looking for tonight? Let's talk about some of the battles that we're going to see on the field tonight.
Yeah, I think that there are two guys, one on the 49ers on defense and one on offense, that you have to watch, who are potential starters week one. Both of them are rookies. Marquis Siegel, man, who's turned into my favorite rookie of this entire class. You got 11 of them. This dude, I freaking love. Like, if he goes out there, because, you know, he's exchanging reps in the, you know, with the ones with Jair Brown, who just continues to disappoint even in preseason games. Like, I want to see if Marquis Siegel, he's going to get snaps. Can 36 go out there and just get rid of the hesitation? That's the number one thing. Whenever I've been going through film with him since he's joined the Niners last two preseason, he's making plays. He can tackle in the open field. He's aggressive. Coverage zone drops, sometimes missing. But stop the hesitation. You'll see him kind of like limp in a little bit and then second guess. Got to get rid of that. Play full speed. All gas, no brakes, Robert Saleh. So number 36 on defense. And then on offense, one of your guys, Larry, you've been big on him nonstop. Number 75, Connor Colby, the rookie. You got Ben Barch injured and looking like RoboCop out there with all of his, whatever he's got going on. Dominique Pooney, you're hoping gets back. But whenever they move Connor Colby to take snaps at the right guard spot and left guard spot now, they're putting a lot on his plate. Can Connor Colby's consistency be enough to say we cannot play Nick Sekel? like the Niners are trying to give Nick Sekel every benefit of the doubt. Left guard, right guard, center, moving him back and forth and all this stuff. It ain't working. He's not looking consistent versus the force out there in preseason games. Can Connor Colby do enough to say, look, Nick Sekel's not your guy. Trust in the young dude. There's a chance this dude starts week one. So when the 49ers are out there on defense, I'm watching 36. When they're on offense, I'm watching 75. Those are the two most paramount players that could actually start. Not only, like, they're both going to make the roster, but could start week one.
Those are good. Those are good. Let's dig deeper on those for a second. Let's talk about safety for a minute. So I don't know if you've done the 53-man roster cut down exercise, but how many safeties do you think they keep on this team? And there's an awful lot of talk about Jair Brown being traded. I don't know, man. I don't think I would trade.
Who's going to trade what?
I mean, first of all, I think you could get a seventh-round pick for him. But, I mean, why would you trade your you can't keep drafting guys in the third round and trading them a year later for seventh-round picks. You can't make those deals. These are the kinds of deals that get you crushed. So, I mean, I get it. Jair Brown has not been a perfect player, but is he that much worse than the backup safeties that are going to make this roster? And, like, who's going to make the roster? You got Pinnock for sure, Siegel for sure. Mustafa is hurt, so he doesn't count. Saron Neal is going to make it for sure.
For sure. Guaranteed contract.
Brent Boyer told me the other day, I said, tell me about Saron Neal, and he went into a diatribe about how thinks he's a Pro Bowler. So, I mean,
he's played good corner snaps, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, Saron Neal, I mean, I have him here at safety, but, yeah. So I've got Pinnock, Jair, Siegel, and Neal. Those four right
Richie
now.
Grant.
But there's also Richie Grant. But then this is also, I think, John, I think you're hitting on kind of the biggest, most fierce competition, maybe one of them, is right here at safety, because the backups are all very similar to the starters. Brown has struggled. Pinnock's new, but he's going to make it. Siegel's been great. Then you got Saron Neal. You have Richie Grant, who's a second-round pick in this league and at times has looked really good in practice. But then you also have Derek Canteen, who's looked really good in practice. And you have Jalen Mahoney, who's looked really good in practice. I mean, he had picks in like two of the last four practices. Mahoney is coming on. So how many safeties do you want to go with? And if you're going with four, who are your four?
Yeah, Pinnock's starting week one. Like, I'm telling you that right now. Like, he's starting week one. Who the guy next to him? And it's been three guys. It's been Richie Grant. Then it was Jair Brown, Marquis Siegels, who everybody wants. But I think those four make it. And I think you designate Saron Neal as a special teamer, but he's been taking corner snaps. So, like, you kind of kick him over in that room with all those injuries. I'm cheating a little bit here, Larry.
Okay, that's fine, because we can get to that next, the corner.
Yeah. So, I think you kick him as a special teams guy. But I think you keep four. You paid these guys. Pinnock's fully guaranteed contract. He ain't going nowhere. Now, Richie Grant, you could do your gentleman's handshake with that Shanahan's done with wide receivers and say, look, we're waving you, but we want you back as a special team. You had 345,000 total guaranteed, nothing too big there. But that dude was taking starter snaps through the first month of training camp. And so I think
Get picked off. I mean, there easily really might. He might get picked off.
So I'm going four. I'm going four.
So your four are Pinnock, Siegel, Brown, Neal, and Brown. Yeah.
I'm keeping Grant.
You're cutting Brown.
Trading Brown? No, I'm kicking Saron Neal. I'm not counting him as my safety. I'm cheating.
Oh, okay.
He's my corner.
You're going five, technically. You're going four safety, but Neal's a corner.
Right.
Okay, so now let's go to corner. So now you got Neal, Renardo, Demo, Stout, if he's healthy. And that's my big concern is is he healthy? Is he not healthy? Are they just keeping him out as a precaution, or is it?
They said he was going to be back last week.
I mean, yeah. I mean, are they? I've heard people say that it might be an Achilles. I don't know if there's anything to that or not, but that's a concern. Obviously, this guy's been your best rookie. But then you have Renardo, you have Demo, you have Stout. If they're all healthy, then you have Dallas Flowers, you have Saron Neal. So that's five right there. So maybe you go six. I usually like 10 DBs. Six corners, four safeties. So you could, since you're putting Neal at safety or at corner, now you have one spot for either Chase Lucas, Jacob Robinson, or Darrell Luter.
Yeah, I'm keeping Chase Lucas because Demo hasn't practiced one snap at nickel. Like, I understand he played nickel most of his career, he could do it. He hasn't practiced one snap. They're keeping him outside because the Upton Stout injury. And he hasn't returned yet. Chase Lucas 100% has earned the right to make this roster. Now, again, this could be one of those, hey, vet, we're shaking hands. We're going to cut you. We're bringing you right back. Don't sign with anybody else. We're going to call you up. You might even start week one. He has no guaranteed money on his deal. But Chase Lucas, I feel the coach in me says you reward guys that ball out in training camp. The meritocracy needs to be preserved. It's not all just Shanahan loyalty and Nepo babies and whatever else. I want Chase Lucas to make the 53 personally.
I think this is the one where I really think the fans are going to be disappointed. I really do, because I don't think the Niners, if Upton Stout is hurt, like really hurt, I think the Niners are going to go at the cut down and pick up another nickel corner because you're gonna trust Chase Lucas to be your starting nickel corner. I mean, Chase Lucas is made some plays in the preseason, but I don't think he's a starting nickel corner. I really don't. But we'll find out. I mean, he is the guy the fans want because he is the guy who's made the biggest plays in the preseason for sure. But I wouldn't take him over Jacob Robinson and Darrell Luter. So I'm cutting. You know, for the third year in a row, the 49ers are going to cut good young corners for older guys with lower upside who, you know, fit some prerequisite. Two years ago, it was Oliver. Last year, it was Yadam. This year, it's going to be Lucas. And you're going to say goodbye to Jacob Robinson,
who's got
11 Robinson. Career interceptions, has 4.3 speed, has lit it up in this camp. Demo Lenore talks him up like he's going to be a great player in the future. You're going to, in a league where corner depth is absolutely Totally every there's 15 teams in the league looking for corners. Every single corner that gets cut from any team will be absolutely, you know, inspected to the nth degree by every team. Teams are so desperate for this, and the Niners are going to put two good young corner prospects
out
there.
I don't put Darrell Luter in that category at all. I think he's been one of the worst players on the roster.
He's been bad this year. His coverage has been soft, but he's also big and rangy and talented. It's like, dude, at some
he looks it.
At some point, guess what? Bullocks, coach him up. Coach him up. I mean, you're really going to cut Darrell Luter, long arm corner who played nothing but press man coverage because he had some softer coverage to go with multiple special teamers? I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, okay, well,
this is where I think the Niners are going. How they pair the roster down here is going to matter. And what they did last year burned them badly. I just watched the Colts two nights ago in preseason.
Like all Niners.
And it's like, they're the guys. There's Mooney. There's Womack. Yeah. Womack, if the Niners had Womack right now, where would he be on this thing? If the Niners tomorrow had Womack, where would he be? He'd be starting. He'd be
Nick
starting.
Wouldn't let
and
him
they
play
waved
there.
Him. Waved him. Why? Because they went for the sure thing. Veteran in Yadam and Rakia Sin. And guess what? Those sure thing corners went bye-bye and sucked. And this guy is establishing himself. Sometimes you have to invest in your young players and coach them up. Sometimes you have good prospects that aren't perfect and you get them perfect.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. So this season, stop celebrating like it's 2009 and start betting like it's 2025. Whether you're hammering spreads, chasing the lines, riding money shot parlays, my favorite, teasers are my favorite bet ever. And like, I just tell people this all the time. You're betting with the odds and with the house instead of against it. Check out teasers if you haven't done it. It's our specialty and it's where we make most of our money. But my bookie is your one-stop sportsbook and casino in one. So one account, one wallet. You bet football all weekend. Then you want to play slots. You want to play blackjack. It's all. You don't have to switch apps. No jumping platforms. Just straight up action. And if you're new to my bookie, man, they've got a new huge promo. Use our code 49ers, 49ERS, on your first bet, up to $500, it's fully covered. So you make your play. If it doesn't hit, you get it right back with a bet back bonus. No stress. And it comes with just a one-time rollover on return bet. So you're free to reload and keep firing. If you don't know about reloads, ask them their customer service. Trust me, that is there. But again, a one-time rollover, that is huge. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Code 49ers, 49ERS, claim your bet back bonus, make this football season the one where bragging rights come with a bankroll. My bookies, where bettors win together, because bragging's good, but cashing in is better.
So I would keep Robinson and keep Luter. I'm keeping my corner depth. I mean, heck, the Niners cut Womack and kept Matt freaking Pryor. Yeah. Who never played a snap as some insurance policy, some slow-footed, overweight, tatted-up tackle who's like, for a corner who's now starting for the Colts? I mean, that was a fuck-up. That was a major screw-up
by
the 49ers.
Ambry Thomas. And you kept Ambry Thomas, who doesn't fit your scheme and won't tackle. But my question to you, Larry, okay, if we keep your corners, which I'm not disagreeing with, who is your starting nickel? Like who you like? None of those guys have played nickel.
I mean, camp. You have the best nickel corner in the game.
They haven't played him. He hasn't played one snap there.
But do we really think that he couldn't play there?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I probably would leave him outside, but I don't believe in Chase Lucas. I talked to Chase Lucas. I think Chase Lucas is crazy. He is all over the place.
I love
you
it.
Know, he tackled,
I like crazy DBs.
The
man.
Other
I
day,
like
when Mahoney had the tackle, everybody in the stadium who cared about the Niners winning was like, get up and run.
Yeah.
Except for Chase Lucas, who was like, stay down, stay down. Why? Why is he staying down? So it's that kind of disconnect with Chase Lucas. I love him as a special teamer. If you want him to be the last guy back there because you he's a special team, you know, madman, and you love him and this and that, that's one thing. But you cannot keep cutting guys who, because the reality is this, Renardo's already been out and Stout's out right now. And let's just say you get to week three and there is no Renardo and there is no Stout. And now you just have to go with your corners. Who do you want to go with? You want to go with Jacob Robinson or you want to go with Chase Lucas? And I want to go with Jacob Robinson.
I like him. I don't think he's ready.
He's got way better talent.
I don't think he has functional play strength yet, but
but I'll say this, John, I agree with you. That's the report. I didn't necessarily see that. I read that, but I didn't necessarily see that. So I'm a big Robinson fan. I wanted to be a big Luter fan, but Luter has struggled. But still, I mean, I'm looking at that guy and I'm going, this is, in a lot of ways, this is like when I look at Dallas Flowers and Luter, I'm like, this is what NFL corners are supposed to look like. They're supposed to be long, rangy, long arm, dominant, physically dominant. And I get it. Luter's coverage has been way too soft this summer, way too soft. He's allowed too many. He almost had a pick, and he's had he had a couple PBUs, but he's also given up way too many easy catches right in front of him. So he's got to get it dialed up. He's not right yet, but I you know, once again, I think long-range view, I think Robinson and Luter are going to be in this. 3 years from now, Robinson and Luter, I think, are in the NFL. 3 years from now, I don't think the Saron Neals and the Chase Lucases are in the NFL. And now Fabian Moreau was brought in. He hasn't done anything.
No, I mean, he hasn't been getting many snaps.
He's just hurt all the time. Okay, one, you mentioned, let's go back to your other one. You said Connor Colby. Let's go back to that competition. How many offensive linemen do you have him taking? 8 or 9? 3 backups or 4 backups? And here are the starters: Trent, Barch, Brendel, Pooney, McKivitz. So then it's like, who do you want? Those are the starters for sure. Who do you want as your 3 backups if you have 3 or 4? I'll go to you. I mean, I would go with Connor Colby and then whoever is higher rated between Pleasance and Burford.
It's got to be Burford.
I'd probably lean towards Pleasance, but because I don't think Burford can play tackle at all. Yeah. Hennessy's to me has been disappointing. I'd go with Connor Colby, Drake Nugent, Drew Ooh. Moss, and Austin Pleasance.
Wow. Okay.
I'm cutting Hennessy. I'm cutting Brock's buddy, Zakel. I'm cutting Burford. I'm cutting Dunn. Nugent looks really good to me. And Colby and Moss. I got to go with a tackle. I got to be honest. I don't like any of those tackles. I'd cut them all. I'd cut Prince, Burford, and Pleasance and go find a tackle somewhere else. But if I had to go with the guys in this camp, I'd probably go with Pleasance just because of the stature. I don't think any of these guys have the speed, though, to block Bryce Huff.
No. And that's kind of the issue, is like, where do you find that in the NFL? I've got to push back. I'm not pleased with Pleasance.
I'm not either,
so
really
heavy footed, man. And so like, his size is awesome, but man, like, you see like the, you know, they'll run like outside zone away from him and it's just like, oh, that dude just doesn't belong in the scheme. What are we doing here? But the same thing with Burford. Some of his, you look at that first preseason game and it was just like, what's going on? I did think his second preseason game was really, really good. So my 3 would be Connor
Burford.
Colby
has the best body for it, for
yes.
sure. For sure.
And Forster loves Forster and Trent love Spencer Burford.
There's a lot to like, John, because he's really a great guy. He's smart. He's got the perfect body. So I get it. Like, if I was just scouting, I'd be like, oh, yeah, Burford. But the only thing is, I've been standing there watching this guy false start all summer, not get it called. And I just think that when it matters against, you know, Agent Zero and Verse and these guys, and week one against Boye Mafe and all the edge guys they got, I just, if he had to play, I think he would false start at least 2 or 3 times. But
this is crazy, and I hope somebody like records this. Burford's going to get $10 million next year in the free agency market. Like, he's going to get paid, maybe more. But like, I would say Burford, Connor Colby, 100%. I want Matt Hennessy, but he hasn't played well enough to earn that. I think it's going to be Nick Sekel. So, like, my prediction of what I think will happen will be Burford and then Sekel and Connor Colby. I think those are the three. You keep eight. And, you know,
just eight. Not, you don't go with the extra one.
I want nine. And that would be, I don't know. I'm not keeping Isaiah Prince. I'm not keeping
Michael Dunn.
Nah, just
Nugent had a really good, highly graded game against the Raiders, and they played him at guard. He's just small. He's undersized. Moss, I think I would try to keep because I think he's got starter potential, but he'll clear waivers. You can put him on the practice squad.
My biggest issue with Moss was, you know, he looked so great when he played the second half of that preseason game. Then he played up against the twos, and it was like, okay, now you're starting to see some of those deficiencies that he has, but the upside is still there. It's still there. So if you had to keep nine, Moss would be it. But part of me says, like, man, he put some bad tape up week two. I could definitely see that's a project play. So if you force me to keep nine, it's Moss. I'd keep him over Hennessy at this point, which is crazy for me to say because I wanted Hennessy to play over Brindle, but that's okay. That's one of the mea culpas. You know, I was wrong, and I'll admit that.
Well, you know, wrong. I mean, we give opinions every day. Some were right, some are wrong. Sometimes your prediction today looks wrong, but tomorrow it's right. You know, so it's, you know, all these things. I think you're spot on this, by the way. I think you're probably right. It's probably going to be three backups, and you're probably right about who they'll be. Colby, Sekel was their organizational favorite. They're giving him every opportunity. And then Burford. But I actually kind of think they're going to go with four. And I think that fourth guy is going to be an outside the organization tackle. I was talking to Chase Senior the other day, and he's talking about how Holland Pierce is probably going to get cut in Philly's camp. Philly, they also have Miles Hinton. They have some guys who they drafted three tackles, and they have such great tackle depth. They're probably going to waive a couple of those guys. I could see the Niners taking, you know, going with Burford, Sekel, and Colby, and then also looking around for whoever their favorite young tackle is and saying, you're the fourth guy, and going with nine.
Because they don't do swing tackles. The Niners don't do that under Chris Forster. They play a left tackle backup and then play a right tackle backup.
Well, I mean, they've tried, they would love to have a swing tackle and save the roster spot, but I don't think they feel like they have that luxury. How about tight end? Do you go now? The Niners have gone with four, and yet I could easily see them go with two on the final 53 to try to save roster spots because I think Braden Willis and Tongas both go totally unclaimed. I think they can do anything they want with these guys. They could keep four, but that would tell us that they're not. It's not a very good roster. If you're rostering Tongas and Braden Willis, that means that there's. You don't have enough good players at other positions, but they have gone with four tight ends in the past. I would go with three, and I'd probably go with Tongas. But this is another spot. I think I could easily see them cutting Tongas and Willis. I could also see them looking for a tight end around the cut down that's better than Tongas or Willis, but most likely not because they know the offense and there's some advantage to that. But I think Tongas and Willis get cut and both wind up on the practice squad.
That's what I want to happen. This is where you can kind of sneak a couple positions and get real creative. Because even worst case scenario, let's say Tongas and Willis get claimed. Ross Dwelly's sitting out there. Nobody claimed him. Like, you could call him up and say, look, dude, we need you to come in. Just be our tight end three. We're going to put you on, you know, you're going to block for extra point, blah, 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 blah. We'll call you up. Like, because the 49ers have to have three tight ends. They really want to have four. So, but man, this is where you could get creative because nobody's claiming those guys. They have not put up the tape to warrant that. Both have played better than they did last year. So improvement has happened for both Tongas and Willis, but not to the point where it warrants, man, this is where you get sneaky. And I hope they take advantage of that.
Okay. Two guys that I think, or at least one or two guys that I think have something really on the line tonight that I'll be watching for. Sebastian Valdez. I thought Valdez looked really good early. He looked really good against Denver. He had moments against the Raiders, but then there was times he just looked engulfed and overwhelmed. And
well said.
And I just think that he's a pass rusher, but he also is very strong. He's got a great motor, but he didn't get a lot done in this last game. And I think your D-line, you're going 10, and you're going to go five tackles, five ends. So to me, who are your five tackles? C.J. West, Alfred Collins, Kalia Davis, Evan Anderson. Those four guys are going to be on there. Givens is hurt, so he doesn't count. So it really leaves you one spot for either Jordan Elliott or Sebastian Valdez or Bruce Hector or Shaquille Brown. But I think those guys are more, you know, practice squad on the outside looking in. It's more of about it's Jordan Elliott versus Sebastian Valdez. Do you want to give that or maybe you don't see it that way?
I don't. I think Jordan Elliott starts week one, and I'm not a Jordan Elliott guy. Like I'm not a Jordan Elliott fan, but Chris Kucerik loves him. And Kyle Shanahan called him his best run defending defensive tackle last year, which was absolutely absurd. They love Jordan Elliott. And you have no veteran pieces now that Givens hurt. Like, I think Jordan Elliott is more than a lock. I think he's starting week one. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope you're right, Larry. This is one of the ones where I'd say, like, yeah, let's go with you. But, like, you've got nothing but young bucks in there that haven't played a lick in the NFL. Jordan Elliott's the only guy with any substantial veteran experience. I think Jordan Elliott's going to – I think he's a lock, man. But
are you cutting Valdez or are you trying to put either West or Collins on an injured list?
I'm fine with 11 in this room. Yeah, I would. And I do want to keep Valdez. You're going to have to rotate these guys because they're all so young. And they all have like – you're not going to play Alfred Collins on passing downs. Like you can't do that. You can't play Evan Anderson on passing downs. So – keep your, you know, Sebastian Valdez and allow him to go do some of those things. Like, I want all of these guys kept. I really, really do because this room scares the bejesus out of me from a consistency standpoint. Yeah, you've got potential. Potential means you ain't done it yet. I am worried about this room. And, like, I think the starters at the defensive tackle room week one is going to be Jordan Elliott and Kalia Davis. The two most, I want to call Jordan Elliott consistent, but he's played the most in the NFL. Like, I think those are your two starters. And maybe C.J. West responds to this injury, and maybe, you know, I trust Alfred Collins in the run game, but he's still got ways to go there. You need these bodies, I think, right now.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm with the idea of retaining your defensive line depth because it's another position. Guys fall left and right. I really like Jordan Elliott, and I'd love to see him make this team. Is there any way they can fool around with any of the injuries up front? Because, I mean, are you really going to go into this year with, you know, three injured rookies all on your active roster?
I think you're going to have to. Because the only person that I think is the IR pre-designated to return, you get two. That's what's his name?
Givens.
Givens. I think that's the only one.
I don't even know if he's good enough at that point. I mean, but I'll say this. They'll be looking around at guys who are cut at this spot too, I think. But I'm a big fan of Evan Anderson. I think he's gotten better this year. We'll see. It's not a stellar group up front because Collins and West are young and they have yet to emerge, really. Let's talk about defensive end. If you're going with, you know, six defensive tackles, do you still want to go with five defensive ends? Bosa, Mikel, Bryce Huff, 1, 2, 3. Then I'd probably go Sam Aquinu, 4.
100%. He's a lock.
And then, you know, he's not been 100% physically. That's my only concern about Sam. So those are your four. So then the question is, who's the fifth defensive end between Gross Matos, who hasn't gotten out there all year?
Well, he'll be a pup guy. He's still on pup, so he ain't going to count.
Okay. Then you got Beal, who looks awesome, but just, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. He just doesn't do anything. Jonathan Garvin, Travis Gibson, Jalen Allen, and William Bradley King, or the waiver wire. I would probably go Bosa, Mikel, Huff, Sam O, and Travis Gibson.
I like that. I think it's going to be Bill because of special teams, but I wouldn't be mad with what you said.
Going with Gibson over Bill. I'd say the other guy who looks really, really incredible at times, and if you just want an edge rusher to really hunt the quarterback, Jalen Allen, the UFL guy, does have some bend. does have some explosiveness. He just played a season, so he's in really great shape. He flies off the edge faster than the other guys. He's lighter than the other guys. I don't think he can set the edge in the run game. He's 240 pounds, but he is a speed rusher, probably their best speed rusher outside of Huff.
He's been problematic, like in a positive way. Like, he's caused problems for the opposing offense. Joint practices against the Broncos, he was lighting it up. So I'm with you there. I do think that Robert Beal does offer some upside in special teams. I think he's been great last year on special teams. So this one, I don't know. Jalen Allen, the better defender. Robert Beal, the better special teams player, better run defender. What do you prioritize there? This is where I'm not quite sure where they're going to go. But I would bet on Robert Beal Jr., but with the injury, he's back now. This is a weird one.
Last position group, linebacker. What do you think at linebacker? Do they keep five? Do they keep six? I mean, if they keep five, it's Winters, Warner, Martin, Gifford, and one more guy, probably Bethune. And you're cutting Blanton, Robinson, Surratt, Jalen Graham. I also think this is the spot when I looked at the rosters around. I typed in, you know, Ravens roster projection, you know, Dolphins roster projection. I looked at everybody's roster projection just in the last 24 hours just to see who is on the bubble, who is actually going to be cut. Two guys that have had great training camps, great preseasons, productive as hell, who I loved in the draft. I would consider keeping six linebackers and picking one of these guys off waivers, and that's Eugene Asante and Chandler Martin. Asante has had a great summer in Miami, but they say that he's probably getting caught up in a numbers game, and Chandler Martin has had a phenomenal summer with the Ravens. He's had great tackles. He's been among their league leaders in tackles, and, you know, he's kind of like Nick Martin. He's an undersized, speedy linebacker, but to me, you can only have one special team linebacker, and I think it's, you can have Gifford, but or you can have Curtis Robinson, but you can't have both. So I'd go Warner, Winters, Martin, Gifford, Bethune, and the linebacker that I claim off waivers. Those are my six, and I'm cutting the rest.
I'm cool with that. And I would say this, like, it, because you have to do six to cut down to that, like, I would keep Curtis Robinson, who's there, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year. He's flashed in the early time that he's back. They could have kept him on PUP, but he wanted to play. They brought him up. He's playing well. So that would be my sixth guy. And then if you want to swap him out with one of your dudes, I'm cool with that. But they love Curtis Robinson. So,
yeah,
like, he's a big time coach guy, special teams guy. He's probably like, but Bethune's a lock. You brought up Bethune earlier. Bethune has been unbelievable. That dude, oh my gosh. Like, if Fred Warner went down, God forbid, Tato Bethune's playing Mike. I'm telling you that right now.
Love that kid, man. Love that kid. I talked to him the other day. I don't know if you saw any of it, but he's just a great kid. He's just awesome. One of my favorite guys. Tommy Huxley says, Meth Desto, A-plus trade for Robinson, in my opinion. Is he talking about Modesto?
Yeah, he's throwing shots. That's what Tommy does. He throws shots on everything. That's his thing.
I like people who take shots, Tommy. I like that. B-Rob won't see the field till CMC is broken because of Kyle. Well,
I hope that's not the case.
God, if that's the case, I hope that's not the case. Holland Tracy, B-Rob... with what is that?
Is that OBJ?
OBJ immediately. OBJ contribute on the goal line.
Oh, will he contribute immediately on the goal line? I doubt it. The 49ers will be a little bit slower to bring Brian Robinson into the fold. And so
He will not play tonight.
No, I doubt it. No, there's no way. The physical just happened yesterday, right? And so I don't even think the trade's officially processed. Maybe that happens today before the game. I don't know. But
Sky Moore is going tonight, though.
Yeah, Sky Moore I expect to see, especially as a returner or whatever else. But no, I don't. Brian Robinson will be phased in. But I think the pecking order at the running back position will be CMC and then Garindo for the first couple of weeks. And then I expect that to see a transition probably after week two or three.
We got this one from David E. Krug. Where are you on Stone Blanton? Haven't heard much about him recently. Still high on him. I'm very high on him.
and he has been working out on the side. So he's dinged up. And I don't know if he'll go tonight or not, but I think he's a practice squad linebacker. I'm pretty sure he'll go unclaimed. He's just not ready yet. He's a developmental linebacker. He's still beneath the radar. He's going to be on their practice squad. I would almost guarantee it. They love him. But you know, he's got some physical limitations, which is why he's, you know, went undrafted, but he's also very productive and smart. And I think he's a keeper. I think he's a developed, and he's a guy they're going to try to develop. And one last one here from B. Lauren. This is kind of interesting. Did Larry have a take on Karan Amagaji from last draft? Rumor is he's a cutdown candidate. This is the Yale tackle who's with Chicago. And then Chicago went and got all these veterans and then drafted other guys. And he, this is like what I'm talking about. Thank you, B. Lauren, for this one, because I literally was talking about this kind of a guy when we talked about this position earlier. I think the Niners are going to go. I think John's totally right on the money. I think he's got it pegged perfectly. I think they're going to go with Zakel and Burford and Colby, those three. But I do think they'll go with a fourth. And I think their fourth will be a tackle like that, that was somewhere else that they had a good draftable grade on, that they really feel like they can develop. Because I think they see what I see, which is Burford might be, you know, he can be your backup tackle, but he's always going to struggle with speed. So if you could find one more tackle prospect that Foerster likes, and that's the beauty of Foerster, is that he doesn't necessarily like what the rest of the league likes. So there may be a guy who gets cut who absolutely could be a Foerster, you know, a guy that Foerster really likes. So, you know, I think that's something to look for sure. All right. That is going to do it for us. John, I don't know if I know I told you off the air, but Kev and I will be going to New Orleans. To New Orleans.
We're going to be partying on Bourbon Street, baby.
I saw you. It's your birthday weekend, right?
That's right, man.
So that's going to be cool. So you're going to have a Saturday event in the quarter, and then you're going to have a pregame party as well. So it's a two event deal for the 49er Rush podcast traveling crew in week two in New Orleans. But Kev and I will be there. I will be buying you drinks in the quarter. We will somehow do some kind of live video in the quarter. I will come to your events, put me on the list. If there's anything I can do to promote it for you, let me know.
Man, if you guys are coming out to, y'all want to come meet Larry? Who doesn't want to meet Larry?
Get ready to take shots.
Yeah, so week two, we'll be in New Orleans. We rented out the Bourbon Street Drinkery, appropriately named, both two floors. We rented out both floors right there on Bourbon Street. Join us Saturday.
Do you have the promo? Do you have the little picture thing? I wish I could put it up here.
I DM'd it to you in your Twitter DMs. That's where I do most of my work.
Wait a second. I can call it up here. Hold on. I want to call this up because it's a really cool. You guys put up these really cool flyers.
Thank you, man. Shout out to Canva. I work my tail end off on those late at night.
Yeah, I'm going to put this up on the board so everybody can check it out for themselves. Let me move that around. No, wrong button. Here we go. Sharing screen. Here we go. There we go. All right. 49ers invasion weekend in New Orleans. Join the faithful day before the rally, Bourbon Street Drinkery. I got to use that word more, drinkery, from 2 to 6 p.m. on Bourbon Street. Oh, that's going to be awesome. So you even have an address here, 217 Bourbon Street.
That's right, man. It's going to be off the freaking chain. Cannot wait. Kids are free to every event we ever do. And so, like, we give away so much stuff to the kiddos. And we're talking trivia competitions. Who knows the 49ers the best? Giveaways, raffles, you name it. We do drinking games. It's an absolute blast. We always have a good time. And then we have a tailgate the day of, which we're just going to be a couple blocks from the Superdome. We have a seafood station at our freaking tailgate. It's going to be off the chart. My birthday. We're going to be partying it up. Cannot wait. Go to the TickPick app. or tickpick.com. All you do is search 49ers Rush, and it will pull up all of our events. We're going to be in week one, Seattle as well, with Frank Gore. Every road game the 49ers go to, we are hosting two events the entire time. It's going to be an absolute blast. So come party with us, and we'll have a good time with you guys.
Seafood? Now, that's not C-E-E. That's not S-E-E. That's S-E-A, huh?
Best food in the world is Louisiana. I lived there for 2 years of my life, and I cannot wait, man. I cannot wait.
So do you have a favorite restaurant in New Orleans? Because when I was there for the Super Bowl, I went to Cochon, which was fantastic, John. I mean, we had fried alligator. It was absolutely fantastic. I went to a four or five really five-star dinners there.
I'm a crawfish extraordinaire, my friend. So any place where you got raw, fried, don't care, po' boy, give me, I don't care. Crawfish, oysters. Mud bugs, I'm all in. I like oysters, but crawfish is where I'm going to be at that whole weekend. I tell you what, man.
And by the way, so we're flying in. We're making it a big weekend. So your Saturday, you have a Saturday party. What time's the Saturday party again?
2 to 6 p.m.
2 to 6 p.m. Okay, so we might have to show up early to that because we are also trying to go to this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that weekend. Which
LSU
is, awesome.
Is hosting Florida at Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, and I'm trying to,
That's gonna be a huge game.
Into, I told him, I said, hey, Kev, we got to hit the bucket. Bucket list is Niners in New Orleans. New Orleans is a bucket list, but Tiger Stadium for night
Death
game.
Valley, baby.
Death Valley for LSU and Florida. It's national TV. It's on ABC.
It's going to be two top 10 quarterbacks drafted the next couple of years, too.
Yeah, with Nussmeier for LSU. And who's the Florida guy?
I forget his name off the top of my head, but I'm not a Gators guy, so there I don't really care.
All right. Well, hey, that's it. If I can influence any of you guys to go to New Orleans with John's group, please do. Kevin and I will be there. And Tommy said, I will get you hammered. Just remember this. I do have to go to the game on Sunday, and I don't want to yak at the game. Oh. I don't want to yak at the game.
Party responsibly, always, man.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's going to do it for us. John, I'll give you the final word. Niners, Harbaugh, Trey Lance, they're all there tonight. I'll give you the final word before we bolt for the door.
Man, I'll say this. Tonight is the last time some people will be playing football in the NFL for the rest of their lives. These games matter. I understand the third preseason game lacks a lot of the kind of blockbuster or whatever else. But for the diehards, and if you're watching the show and you follow Larry, you follow me, you know this game is huge. Watch number 75, Connor Colby on offense. Watch number 36 for the 49ers, Marquis Siegel on defense. You're going to have a great time. Appreciate you spending time with us on game day. Get it done, 49ers.
Peace.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.